Get ready for Big Guy Small Talk. I'm feeling good, if you can't tell, man. Starting off with some singing for you. Sorry if it sucked. Anyways, I'm having a good day, you know? Enjoying it. Enjoying life. What about you? I hope you are. If not, sorry, man. That sucks. Hopefully this podcast will brighten your day a little bit. At least get you through some time at work while you're counting that clock to go home. Or just while you're doing whatever, man. You know? Anyways, a little bit about today's episode. So when I meet my guests, I always meet my guests. Rarely is it someone I know. And that is the case today, man. It was someone I did not know. I met her at a coffee shop. Her name is Brooke. And I'll get into that later. But when I record these episodes, I ask them where they want to go. That's part of the deal. If they don't recommend it, I will find a spot. But usually that's not the case. They like picking places. And that was the case here, man. She picked this place called Magnolias Sous Le Pont. I don't speak French. It's French. It's Magnolias Sous Le Pont. And it's in the Harwood District in Dallas. It was super good. We went on a Sunday. And parking was free. There's like a parking garage. You just pull in, park, walk. It's there. There's plenty of places to do work there. Plenty of people go there, so it's cool, full of people. There's an outside patio that wasn't too packed, though, so if you're kind of like introverted, you just don't want to be around people, get on that patio, man. Relax a little bit, you know? I had a latte, super delicious. My boy Mike at the bar made it. Mike, I can't remember what you go by, but I do know your name is Michael. He made me a mocha latte that was bomb, dude. So delicious. And she had a kombucha, Brooke did. She was getting her probiotics in for the day. And we just sat and talked. You know, we talked about her dating life. And just before I get into that, we met at Oaklawn Coffee. You know, I went there one day and saw her. I was thinking, here's a cute girl. I bet she has some interesting dating stories. And sure enough, she did. She talks about these things that she calls friendationships, which are basically when she's hanging with a dude and one of them thinks it's a relationship. Mostly the dude, and it's not, because they're always together, they're always hanging out, and I know plenty of times that that's happened. So if that's ever happened to you, man, you got a new hashtag, #friendationship AF, yo. If you're in one of them friendationships, DTR that shit, man. Define that relationship. Get it over with, you know? Bite that bullet, even though it's tough. So anyways, yeah, we had a good time. We just recorded that episode there. She's real sweet. She's from Oklahoma. I lived in Oklahoma. I hated it. But Oklahoma itself is cool, man. They got cool shit to do. I just don't like the city. I like Dallas, you know? The people were nice. The people are friendly. The art scene is dope in Oklahoma. So we talked about that. I don't think we talked about it on the podcast. But we talked about it in person. So you don't get to hear that conversation, unfortunately. But it happened. Anyways, she's from Oklahoma. She's a vet and she lives in Dallas now. So just get to know her, man. Show her some love. Show me some love. And best of all, show yourself some love. Have a good day. Welcome, everyone, to Big Guy Small Talk, where we talk about dating, relationships, and everything the like. Today I'm here with Brooke, and we are at, what is it?
Magnolia Sous Le Pont.
Sous Le Pont.
Yeah.
Very, very French, very good French. Latte that I'm drinking, and she got a kombucha. So we're just going to jump right in. So why don't you just let everyone know a little bit about yourself, age, what do you do for a living, things like
So I'm Brooke, and a lady never reveals her true age, but I'm in my early 30s. I work in a veterinary hospital, so I'm in veterinary medicine.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool, veterinary hospital. What made you want to be a vet?
Oh, man. So it's that kind of classic story. There's a lot of people that want to be a vet when they're a kid. I hear that a lot from people. I was 4, and I was sitting on my back porch and sitting with my dog, and it kind of hit me, this realization that I really love taking care of my own dog, and I wanted to help other people do the same and feel the same satisfaction from that.
Wow.
So,
it's very altruistic.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
so,
Well,
dude, I'm glad that you achieved your childhood dream. A lot of people don't do that, so I'm a little depressed right now. But anyways, so what's your current relationship status?
I am single.
You're single?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, cool. So let's, before we get into that and about your dating life, why don't you just describe yourself like in under 2 minutes? You know, what'd you say about yourself?
I would like to say, let's see, I'm a vibrant person. I'm somewhat reserved, but I'm still pretty social. I'm a woman of faith. I love learning about other cultures, languages, love learning new skills, love food, and I love connecting over food and just, you know, connecting with new people and learning about them and their life.
So whenever you say you're reserved, like, what do you mean by reserved?
Ew. I think if you were to meet me just, like, a regular public setting and getting to know me in a conversation, I may seem like I don't reveal much initially, but I just kind of have to warm up to you and get to know you better.
Which is actually how we met, right? Like, we randomly met in a coffee shop.
I
accosted this woman while she was doing work one day and asked her if she would be on this podcast.
Yeah.
Awesome enough to say yes. And so then you also say, like, a lifelong learner. Like, are there any languages that you really enjoyed learning?
Yeah. So I'm kind of a nerd. And so I love learning languages in general. I love learning things in general, but languages. I took Spanish in high school and did Spanish conversation in college. So I do use that in the workplace. And
okay.
I took it because it seemed like the most practical language to learn in the southern part of the U.S. I'm from Oklahoma, so that is definitely a big language that's used there. And then obviously in Dallas, it is too. Other languages I've taken, I took a little bit of Arabic in college. There's an intro to Arabic class, yeah. And I, like I said, I'm a nerd, so in middle school I went to a summer camp that was for languages, and they just kind of introduced you to different things.
Right.
So.
Dude, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so.
Oh, yeah, and I recently just finished taking a Greek class.
So. Oh, Greek.
Yeah.
Greek is cool. I actually was in Greece for like a
week. Nice.
Yeah.
I have not been, but I'd really like to go.
I mean, it's like the family economy is kind of depressing, but the food is great. People are nice.
Mediterranean food's awesome.
Super cool. Yeah, absolutely. Highly recommend you go.
One day, I'll get there. Yeah. Long-term goal that I have not reached.
So whenever you wake up in the morning, like, what motivates you? Like, every day, what's your motivation?
Yeah, that's a great question. for me, it's my faith, because this world's kind of a crazy place, so you need something to hold you constant. But when you get up to work in the morning, even if it's a terrible day, you know that you have purpose and that there's a reason for everything you're doing. So my faith also, like, motivates the way I interact with people, in wanting to build people up and encourage them that, you know, this life just it's not just about me. Like, there's a bigger purpose to everything. So.
Yeah, so, like, that, like, probably just affects how you live, like, on a day-to-day basis, right?
Yeah,
that's really cool. So, you said you're back to it. So, in a few minutes, what is your experience in dating?
Okay, so I would say it's mainly been what I would call friendationships interspersed with random dates. And what I mean by friendationships is I do see this more in Christian circles, too, since we talked about the faith. I don't know if I have to wait 5 seconds.
No, you're good. You're good, please.
But I see it to where you develop a relationship that's a friendship with someone that you, in my case, of the opposite sex, that becomes a really good friend or best friend, and you spend so much time with each other, so emotionally invested in each other or connected, that it starts to feel like you're actually in a dating relationship with them, like your heart is that wrapped up. Or people around you really start to question, like, hey, are you dating that dude? Or maybe they're asking him, hey, like, right. is something going on there?
Yeah, you guys are looking like a couple.
Yeah, right? Okay. And then that's not the case, but it's like you have that chemistry and you have that kind of deeply emotional relationship that it seems like, or it feels like at some point, which can go really well if things work out, or they can go really poorly if, like, one or the other person's not truly interested. And then random dates, I would describe as random dudes that I met at different places, at different seasons of my life, that I maybe went on like one or two dates with or talked to for a bit, but we didn't actually like get into a relationship after that.
Yeah, so that brings us to another point. Whenever we first talked, you mentioned that you just don't like, you don't often know when guys like you, right? Like that whole friendship
thing. Yeah, yeah.
So any interesting stories that you have from that?
Yeah, yes. So it's interesting because, like, sometimes you know that someone's, like, interested, but men don't always actually step up and, like, do anything about their interest. So that's where it gets kind of confusing and, like, mixed signals. And then there's some times where it's, like, I genuinely think I've been friend-zoned. And it come to find out, like, no, you weren't friend zoned. You just weren't reading those signals right. So then, yeah. So,
so wait, time out real quick. So whenever you say guys don't step up, have you ever had a guy tell you how he feels and you just, like, rejected him?
Ooh, in my adult life, I don't think I have.
What is adult mean? Like, after high school?
Yeah. So, like, there are some dudes that, you know, maybe, like, middle school, high school, it was the other side of, man, like, friendationships even back then.
Yeah.
The other, me on one side of, like, you know, I just, I don't see this, like, going anywhere, and I don't want to lose a friendship.
Right.
But they may have, like, spoken up about it, like, way after I realized that they were into me. Mm-hmm. But yeah. That's, like, that was, like, high school.
I mean,
school,
I think, so, like, I just think whenever you say guys don't step up, in my experience, it's been because guys get shot down a lot.
Hey, so high school.
And so either way, like, that early stages of their life, they get trained to be like, if I do this, it will end terribly.
Yeah.
And so, like, I get what you're saying.
I know what you're saying,
So, like, if you could, how would you recommend a guy express his feelings or interest?
Ooh, okay. Wait, I have to clarify. I do want to say that in those high school situations, I made sure to try to be very gracious about it.
Just
saying,
help.
I'm just saying, like,
no,
yeah, I know, but just saying, I really do value you as a person, and I really do value your friendship, and I think you're amazing, but I just don't think you're the right guy for me, and I really, you know, hope
that's
to find
pretty
out.
Deep in high school. Wow,
I know. and so, anywho, okay, so now, like, what would be the best way for guys to step up?
Yeah, like, if you like, like, how would you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just being direct, but a lot of it depends on context, too. So if it's some guy that, like, I just met, like, literally, we just met tonight at some party, some group gathering, whatever. If I don't know you, then I may be a little bit more reluctant. But that's not every case. There are some times where I meet someone, I'm just like, you know what? So in the rare occasion that a guy on the first time that he meets me is like, oh, hey, I'm interested in you. If it's in a group setting and they know the people that I know and it seem like those people can vouch for him, I'm more likely to be like, yeah, you know, because in today's society, you never know.
Is there like a specific person you trust the most when vouching?
It's usually like...
Like your best friend or...
Yeah, close friends, but even, like, if it's the old lady at church that, you know,
that's
what
a big
I'm saying,
one too.
Like,
I mean, if she's saying good
if it's,
stuff,
like, the mama figure at church.
Yeah, absolutely.
If she can vouch for that person, then that's fine. And then there's some times where, like I said, random dudes, where it's, like, I remember a guy in my apartment once had stopped as I was walking my dog and made conversation with me to, like, ask me out. And since I just met him and I didn't really know him, there's nobody around, it's just me and the dog. And he's like, well, I don't, you know, I don't know you that well yet. I don't feel like quite extremely comfortable with you yet. But you know what? Like, I'm open to getting to know you better. Like, maybe if I, you know, I go to the gym at the apartment complex around this time on these days, if you want to join me, like, we can talk on the treadmill next to each other. You know, something like that that's lighthearted. And then at that point, if I feel like, hey, we're fine, we're cool, then fine.
Let's go. I feel like that's very different than most people's approaches.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't invite someone to something they do on a daily basis. It's more like, hey, this is my thing. Mm-hmm. I would rather we just go somewhere completely separate from my life, coffee shop or whatever.
Yeah.
And go
that
meet.
Was a special case because he was interesting because he was very forthright about saying, like, he actually, so his line in was with my dog, of course. Like, hey, nice. What kind of dog is that? And like,
classic.
Right? Yeah. You know, so I was like, okay. That's like, of all the lines, that one is the one that, I'm not a line person. Like, if you use a quote-unquote line on me, I'm just like, oh, come on.
Yeah. What kind of dog was it, just for the listeners?
She's a mutt. She's a 50-pound mutt. And so, yeah, meaning dog. Like a mixed, yeah, mixed breed. But so in any case, more people talk to me because of her, I swear, because I'm, like, walking my dog. So he caught me as I was walking the dog, and I think he was, like, throwing trash away in the dumpster or something, and we crossed paths. And he had actually, like, turned his car around to come back to us, like, and start making conversation. So I knew this guy, like, he made an effort, and he was just talking about how he tells guys all the time how... don't try to hook up with somebody just through Facebook, like, with random people, but, like, actually have face-to-face interaction. And I liked his genuineness, and I just wanted to kind of affirm that and, like, kind of build that up, because a lot of guys don't have that mentality anymore of, like, connecting not on social media, but face-to-face for people in general. So that kind of millennial generation, it's rare where people actually want to talk face-to-face and get over that awkwardness and just
like I
connect.
Said, I think you're also a rare kid because you don't have social media, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't. Like,
I kind of reject the title millennial because I'm like, I'm so old-fashioned about getting to know people, like, one-on-one, in person, like, just do things the old-school way, basically.
Right.
So men that, okay, so that's probably... leading into men that choose to do things the old-fashioned way or the old-school way of face-to-face, in person, make conversation with me, like, get over that awkwardness or the fear that you might be rejected and just... because, I mean, we all get rejected at some point, right? It's gonna happen.
Yeah,
even me, like, I've told men how I feel about them or just, like, hey, I'm interested in you, and been shut down.
Right.
But I think, like, that rejection, like, it's what builds your character and builds integrity and also builds, like, humility and compassion for other people so that...
it's like getting back on that horse, right?
Yeah, like, it makes you a bigger person. You grow and mature if you handle it correctly. And by correctly, I just mean, like, maturely, you
right.
know? Like,
yeah.
So if, like, if you get over the fear of that and realize that there is life after rejection, then, like, it's a lot easier to connect with people.
It also just depends on, like, what stage you're getting rejected at. Is
Just
met them? Because
right.
you can shake that off easily. But
yes.
if you're, like... been getting to know them for a while and they don't express that interest, that can be pretty devastating to some
and
people.
And I totally,
unfortunately.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so did that guy ever take you up on the gym or anything? Did anything ever happen?
You know, he didn't. And what's funny is, like, I was reluctant to even say that, but I really just appreciated the fact that he'd made an effort. And he was like, don't shut me down. Like, we can... And I said, I'm not shutting you down. If I was going to shut you down, I wouldn't have offered you the gym, like, date. Yeah, you know? But I think he had told me initially that it would have been hard for him to make that day, but, like, if he was around, he's going to try to actually do that. So I don't know, like, he might have been working late or something, but it
Who
seemed
knows?
Like his time, what he told me, was going to be different normally in the gym anyway.
Yeah.
But just the fact that I, like, opened myself up, even though initially I was like, I don't know you that well, like, we just met.
Yeah, and it could also just be, like, the fact that it took work to get to date you. Like,
yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of dudes don't like that. Like,
yeah, I mean,
at least a lot of guy friends that I know, they kind of just want, okay, I ask her out, she says yes, so go out. You
mm-hmm.
know, just kind of goes quickly. You don't seem like that. It seems like there's
no, but I
a
think
process.
I mean, with all things in life, like, when something takes work to actually do or to actually achieve, then you appreciate it more. You know, if you don't... if there's no work put in it, yeah, like when we get things for free all the time, like right. you don't really appreciate the thing as much. You can be grateful, but not everybody's like that. So
that's true. Yeah, it takes a special kind of person to appreciate something that they're always given. Yeah. What? So on the topic of like these dates, do you have any good first date stories? Bad first date stories?
Yeah. So it's a. I know this is kind of like a rarity, but I don't think I've genuinely ever had a bad first date. And that may
that
be...
That is rarity.
Yeah. I like, that may just be a godsend, but... and part of it may also be, like I know myself well enough to know if, like, somebody's going to be completely not a good fit for me, so that even though, like, I'm not trying to, like, reject every guy that comes up, but I don't. It's just that I do know that if someone's completely not a good fit, like... not going to treat me well or has completely different values than I do, you know?
Yeah, I was about to ask, do you have any, like any deal breakers?
Ooh, yeah. So for me, because, like, my faith is a big thing for my life, like, definitely would need to be, like, as far as a long-term relationship with someone who also has the same faith.
Right.
He's... And I want to be careful in saying, like, there's a lot of people who are Christian in Texas.
Yeah.
But I'm very involved in my church. That's one thing. But I don't want to say it, like, work-based. I mean that my faith truly guides what
everything
I do in
do.
Life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it frames how I view people. Like, for me, my life is set by love God and love people.
Yeah.
And so if... I'm with someone that can't value other people, whether or not you share the same beliefs with other people.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't treat them right, I can't be with someone who is not going to treat other people like they deserve to be treated, you know. So.
Right, yeah. So I've talked to a lot of women in the process of getting this podcast going.
Mm-hmm.
That is a common thing I've heard is as far as big turnoffs is people in general who can't treat others well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which... I've even seen that, you know, like at SMU, I saw that happen a few times. And especially just in the South, in particular areas like Dallas, you see that happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally get what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's also a thing, like, you can't really fake being empathetic or compassionate to other human beings. Like, you can only fake that for so long if you're not that way.
So that's, like, huge one, like, being authentic. That is a deal breaker. Someone who's authentic, someone who will speak the truth, even when it's not.
It's a deal breaker to be inauthentic, you mean, right?
What I mean is, I need to be with someone who's authentic. So people, one example of someone who would be inauthentic is someone who's really nice to me because they want something from me, they want my attention, but then they will turn around and either, like, gossip about people or talk down to them. If there's a certain group of people that you don't agree with their value system, that you would make blanket statements that are very stereotypical about them, very demeaning towards them, whether you're talking about someone's lifestyle, someone's religion, their upbringing, their demographic, whatever that is, if you can't treat someone kindly that you don't agree with, then that says something to me about your heart.
Yeah. Has that happened? And we'll get back to the first date story. So I want to get back to that, but we kind of went off on this road, and it's good. But, I think that's really true. Like, people who talk bad about others in general, like relationships or friendships,
right? Yeah,
they're probably not too many steps away from doing the same to you.
Yeah,
or
exactly. Like,
people close to them.
Exactly. Like, when people do that, it's like I kind of have to guard my heart. Like, okay, so what information can I trust myself? You know,
right,
like, can I trust what I say to you? Exactly.
Yeah.
Along the same lines. How a man talks about his ex, you know, or people that he has really cared for before but have rejected him, whether that's his family or whether that's friends. If there's something there that's, like, rooted in bitterness and whatnot, then what happens if things don't work out between us?
Yeah, and I mean, even in speaking that, like, there can... I don't think at least myself.
Yeah.
I don't think bitterness is, like, terrible. It's just, like, if you're aware of it. Yeah. Authentic, like, maybe they're bitter. Like, if it's family related. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe they're just bitter because it's hurtful and they're and hurt by it. But, like,
between,
if they're open about, like, oh, I'm bitter because, you know, I was hurt so bad, you know, and just list the reasons, then all of a sudden you can
and if you're
at
actually
least understand.
Trying to, like, grow and be healed from it, like, obviously, I don't want to ever downplay people being hurt or betrayed, because people do terrible things to other people. But what I mean is, if you carry that baggage into the next relationship and you talk, you just spew hate about that person, and there's no desire whatsoever to grow and heal from that.
Absolutely.
That's different.
Yeah, that is another common thing I've heard. Yeah, that's really, really cool. So back to the first date.
Yes.
What is a
we
good,
took a tangent
what is a
there.
Great, no, that's fine. What is a great first date, good first
date
story?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you wanted an example of one. So for me, like, I'm pretty simple. If I can just, like, have a nice, chill conversation, like, I could just be in a coffee shop or restaurant, coffee shop. We don't even have to be eating, be taking a walk, whatever. If I get to know you, if you're actually opening yourself up to be known, like, instead of just putting up a wall and trying to put up this, like, image of what you want me to believe about you instead of who you actually are, like, just be open, basically. And allow me to have a conversation with you. Like, get to know me, I get to know you, and we're just authentic. That is a good first date for me. I mean, you don't have to tell me all your baggage, but, like, on a first date, that's fine. Like, I'm not asking you to do that, and nor it may not be appropriate to do that on a first date, but just, like, being open, have fun. Like, don't be so... You know, so
you're not
serious
to get
about.
Out of the gate
Yeah. I'm not expecting a ring on the first date. Like, if
not
you
probably opposite, like, yeah,
like
I don't want a ring on the first.
Like,
date.
Just right. Like, let's take it down a notch. Not have so much pressure. And if we get along, we can move on to a second date. And you know, if we don't, like, if we're not vibing, then at least maybe you can walk out of there with a friend, or even like. Hey, you know what, you don't, maybe we're not a good fit, but I have this other friend that she would be perfect for you. Like, you know?
Yeah, I don't, that is very uncommon that a girl would do that, but hey, if you do that, that's awesome.
I know.
networking for people.
Right.
But no, that's, so, I think a lot of guys, like I've just talked to a lot of people who go on these first dates and the men, like, will ramp it up to 100 really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And for the most part, it's guys who don't usually get first dates. Like, they've already struggled with kind of dating women, and then they get a first date, so they're kind of like, hey, I have a first date. I want to lock this down. Like, I don't want to make that mistake.
It feels more like a business arrangement than it does
right,
a date.
Yeah. I 100% agree. Yeah, so that's just one thing that I've always tried to do is when I go on dates, just... Are we having fun? And if we're not having fun, like, then that's already a problem.
Right.
And I just like it to at least just be enjoyable. So regardless, at the end of the date, we can just say, oh, it was a good time. Regardless.
Right.
So that way, if she is telling other people, it's like, oh, it didn't work, but we had fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And like, it's healthy to, like, get to know people in a low-pressure situation where you don't have to try to control the future. Like, is this going to be, like, my wife tonight? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, It takes a lot of pressure off the woman. And women do that, too. Like, I'm not going to say that's all, like, a man's issue. But in general, if we could just take it down a few notches for date number one, like, you may truly get to that point with that person however many dates later where you're like, you know what? I think I could marry this person. But on a first date, like, coffee's just coffee. You know, like, just let coffee be coffee.
Relax and enjoy each other's company.
Right.
Have you ever... been on, like, an interesting date or was something different that you've never done before that you really enjoyed?
Okay, so I'm thinking back to, I was living in D.C. one summer, and I had a first date with a guy who, we went to one of my favorite coffee places in D.C. and just sat down and, like, had a really awesome, just, like, genuine conversation of just who we are and, like, what we're about and whatnot. And then he had already scheduled to go cook dinner with friends at a friend's apartment. And I think they were going to cook an Italian meal. And so I was really hungry at the end of our date, and he offered to, like, hey, do you want to come cook with us? And I was like, yeah, sure. I'm really hungry, actually.
That was really cool.
Yeah, and that was actually, it was fun. We ended up, like, going to the grocery store to get some ingredients first, and then meeting up with his friends and cooking a really nice meal. His mom was Italian, and so she taught him how to do this, like, killer dipping sauce for bread that he taught me how to do.
Nice.
And I actually, like, took that skill back home and, like, cooked for other people and, like, yeah. used this dipping sauce, too. It combined one of my favorite things, food, with another one of my favorite things, which would be learning a new skill or culture. And the third thing would be connecting with new people, learning about where they come from and their culture.
Yeah, and so whenever he was around, because you went to go cook with him and friends, right?
Yeah.
Was he weird about it? Was he like,
no,
oh,
I was
like, hey,
actually,
this is Brooke, we're just out. You know, just,
right, it was, and you know what, I'm a kind of person that I like meeting new people, so it was, I really enjoyed it, and they were actually really cool about being very inclusive with me. Like, I felt like a part of the friend group, and we went for, like, gelato afterwards, and I kind of felt like I'd been friends with him for a while, you know?
Yeah, and that's really cool. Like, if he's got good friends, he's probably a good person.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that is actually a big thing. People
yeah.
who seem to have nice friends that, I don't want to say nice, but, like, genuine friends.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so then what are you doing differently these days in your dating life?
Ew. Okay, so I would say some of it would be just like what we've been talking about is being genuine, being authentic. It's not that I wasn't those things before, but like taking things down a notch and just like being genuine.
Mm-hmm.
So not thinking, if you'd asked me like 10 years ago, I probably would have been in that camp of like, I just want to be married and, like, have some kids and blah, blah, blah. Not to take away from my career at all because, like, we talked about lifelong dream. And but I think as a part of the culture that I was in, being from Oklahoma, that, you know, people get married early there, that's just, as opposed to, like, if you're on the East Coast, like in D.C., where people are in their, like, 30s, have their career kind of a thing, or maybe even later in life where they end up getting married. In Oklahoma, there's a lot of social pressure to have that family system early, even above, like, the priority of just having mature people, like, who've, like, grown and are at a point emotionally and spiritually where they can handle that big social responsibility. Because, I mean, marriage is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Like, and
you could say that.
Yeah. So people who go into it without being prepared or where it's just another step, like, they treat it like dating, then that's really hard because when the hard times come around, they do, and conflict arises, you're not prepared to deal with the turmoil in your own heart or in that of another person. And so, yeah, as opposed to, like, now as a single, I've learned to really unpack what's going on in my heart and, like, try to mature and grow.
Right.
You know, rely on other people around me and my community to actually invite them in and give me accountability so that when I enter into a dating relationship, that they're there to, like, hey, if I'm going off the deep end, somebody's there to reach in and be like, Brooke, stop. Let
yeah.
me come, like, let me throw you this life vest here. This
yeah,
is
that's a really cool way to put it.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, the difference between now and then is just a different viewpoint. Yeah, just a different viewpoint in general. That coffee is just coffee mentality.
Right.
Like, not to downplay dating at all, downplay that, but that just take it down a notch for the first steps and
mm-hmm.
be content with where you are in the season that you are. Yeah.
These days, if you see a guy that you're interested in, do you approach him or do you just kind of wait and see if he approaches
Ooh.
You? Do you,
how
yeah. do you approach those situations?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing would be like getting to know that guy in general. Like, so, allowing yourself to be known, so making conversation with him would be the first step of, hey, like, I find you to be an interesting person, and I'm going to express that just by, like, approaching you and talking to you. That doesn't mean that I'm interested in every single guy I talk to, or I can't talk to a guy unless I'm interested in him. But it just means, like, you make yourself available. Like, you don't just expect a guy to magically cross the room to talk to you. Right. You know, like, it's not a movie. You're not going to just, like, lay eyes on each other across the room and he floats it's over magic. And is like, ah, yes, I'm interested in you. Let's go out on a date. No. So in reality, most of the time, you're going to actually have to talk to that person, have a conversation.
Yeah. Whenever you talk to guys or have conversations, like, is there anything that you want to get to know about them right away, or do you just kind of, like, let it happen?
Well, you know what? Like, the things that people are passionate about usually come up in a first conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you're probably going to hear about my faith in the first conversation. And it's not because I'm pushing it on you.
Yeah.
It's just that there's so many ways in which it plays into my life. I'm not ashamed to talk about my faith. You know,
does that scare guys away sometimes?
I think it depends on the guy. Like,
that's true, yeah.
Because,
I mean,
on one hand, like, I want to attract the men who are on the same page as me. And so if I mention that and it doesn't scare you away and it's not taboo to talk about, that's a good sign.
That's what I was about to say. I think a lot of people don't want to put out there, like, really important things because they want to keep the net really wide.
Right.
But then at the same time, like, well, if you catch a fish, you know, to just make it completely inhuman. But they don't match because, like, they never knew these really important things about you. What was the point in that in the first place?
It's
like a double-edged sword, you know?
I hear different schools of thought, like, even among my own friends, where some people are definitely like, you know, let's save the more intense things for later. And then it becomes a, well, how much later? Like, how far into dating do you have to be to learn about these skeletons in the closet or about some, like, passion of yours? I'm not asking you to tell me about every struggle that you've had in the past, like, in our first conversation. Not at all. Like, that, you should guard something.
Yeah,
exactly. But what I am saying is that if you are passionate about something, if there's something that really helps define who you are and what you're about, then that's something that I want to know about and connect with you over. And even if, like, I don't connect with it, maybe I learned something new about you, learned something new in general and about the field that I had no idea about.
Right.
You know, it's just good to connect with people in general and not just be consumeristic about it. Like, I have to get something out of it. Like, I have to get something out of it, like a relationship, in order to talk to you. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. You know? On that note, have you ever dated anyone with kids where, like, they didn't tell you at first, or maybe they did, or just, you know, what's your view on that? Because
I
think just as we're all getting older, like, that's a very real situation.
No, for real. I've gone on one date with a guy that had kids, but I knew about that before even, like, went on the date, and I wasn't going to be judgmental about that, because there are just things in his past that life happens and brings you to a point where you're single and you have kids.
And who knows? Like, it's probably better after those experiences.
So men are actually pretty upfront about that if they, like, have kids with me. And so, like, even the guy who was the apartment guy, you know, when I was walking my dog, he had kids and he mentioned the things that, I mean, I kind of felt like I was on a first date as we were talking in the parking lot because of the kinds of things we started talking about. But yeah, he talked about just what his schedule, what his week was looking at.
Yeah.
One of the things was, like, being with his kids. So
yeah, I would say it's a lot different. at least, and obviously, you know, I'm not the only person with these opinions, and there's probably different opinions. But when you have kids, like, people with kids probably just are looking, like, they want to move faster, typically.
Oh, yeah.
In my experience.
I've heard tons of women say that. Like, there's definitely the single dads move a lot faster than, like, the men without the kids.
Right, yeah. And in a way, you can't.
Yeah.
You got to be understanding of that because they have children. So they're like, hey, I have children. I want a family. I have a family that I just, you know. So, anyways. But aside from that, anything on your bucket list this year that you're trying to do, or interests that you have right now?
So I don't have, like, not working on, like, any projects or anything like that. But recently, I have this background in music, a very strong background in music, actually. I used to go to a visual and performing arts school in middle school and high school. I was professionally trained, and so I never fully set that aside, but it kind of took a back seat when I had to focus on veterinary medicine. And so now I'm more established in my career, and I've got this urge to start getting back into the music scene more, the art scene. So I guess one of my goals for the next year would be to do, like, an open mic night and to get more into that. I hear that there are some, even, like, classical music open mic nights in Dallas, so.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I've never heard of an open mic night for classical music.
I hadn't either, but I had a guy that was telling me, I think it's Buzzburst that does it.
So, really?
Yeah.
I'll have to look into that.
I will, too.
That's really awesome.
Because it's technically going to be on my bucket list.
Yeah, this last year I joined a choir because I missed singing so much.
Yeah,
I used to sing a lot in high school and in college a little bit, and I just joined a church choir, but I never went to church with them. Like, I was just, like, at the practices so I could sing, and then I just felt bad when I left because I was not doing anything to contribute, just kind of, like, there to sing and then leave every Wednesday. But, yeah, so I totally understand what you mean. Like, you have an urge to do something musical.
Yeah, connect with that more creative side of yourself.
Right. Well, I mean, is there anything that you want to leave people with or any messages you want to say?
Messages about dating
in general.
Oh man, it's a big one. Like, closing messages, I think just coming back to the idea, especially for single women, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, but the list, so I feel like most women at some point of their life has had the list of these different qualities that a man has to be in order for them to be with them. And there are, well, granted, there are deal breakers. So we talked about, like, my faith earlier, and like, that's it. I'm being genuine, authentic. But a lot of the times the thing on the list for women, or even for men too, I mean, I think men probably have their own version of the list. A lot of times it comes down to more superficial things. And so I would just encourage, as opposed to things on your list being you want this person that you're going to be with to be from a certain demographic, a certain look or mold to them. They have to make so much money, or they have to have this type of job, or whatever that is. I would just encourage women and men alike to look for someone that you truly connect with, that is, you're going to be able to support each other, that you can actually, with integrity, back this person, that they're not just going to selfishly take from you and vice versa. Because there's just this element of when you're in a long-term relationship, or just whether that's a friendship or a marriage or whatever it is, it's about selflessness and serving that other person.
Absolutely.
And people don't go into marriage thinking that way often now.
Yeah, I've actually had friends who didn't do that, and they got divorced and talk about how marriage was a lot different than they originally thought it was.
Right. So even now in your singleness, if you can both practice selflessness and look for someone who will serve, and someone who's not afraid of conflict, that's a big one. Conflict is going to arise. It really is. Whether it's in your workplace or your marriage or whatever it is. I mean, we live in a broken world, so we're going to run into conflict. So find someone. I hope your list includes someone who will not run away from conflict, but they'll press in and they will be at your side. And because they feel like you're worth sticking around for, they will stick around to work it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, be selfless, find people who are selfless, and persevere.
Yes.
You hear that, dudes? Pretty simple.
Right.
A couple things to do if you're not doing them.
Right. And practice that even in your friendships now.
Absolutely. No, in every relationship, I think we should do all of those
working
things.
Relationships, friendships, everything.
Well, I wanted to thank you. Normally, I would have people shout out social media, but you do not have any.
I
so,
don't.
If there's a place people want to find you, I guess they can just go to random coffee shops from time to time, and maybe they'll
see
you there.
Yes, actually. It happens a lot.
Yeah, we met at Oaklawn Coffee, actually.
Yeah,
that's where we first
great
met.
Great place, good coffee.
Yeah, and I didn't
really
freak
nice
you out
staff.
So much. Yeah, that was really cool. You were really polite to me. I remember I was like, I'm going to freak this girl out by turning and talking to her and asking her really personal questions about her dating life. And you were just really gracious. So thank you for that.
No problem.
But no, yeah, so that's a wrap. Everyone, thank you for listening. Once again, we are at Magnolia's Sous le Pont.
It means under the bridge in French.
Under the bridge.
It's right next to being under a bridge.
Oh, yeah. Check that out. That's cool. It's a good spot. You know, it's pretty fancy, So it's a good dating spot. If guys, you want to bring a date here.
Great patio.
Parking's good on Sundays. It's free parking in the garage. Maybe I park there.
No,
I don't
it is.
Know. It's free parking in the garage. Yeah. So it's a good little spot. Anyways, that's it. Y'all have a good day, and we are out.